Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture with co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with another episode of the Smoking with Joe Thunder. Real quick, I just want y'all to know today is a great day to be alive. I got my good homie Elvis Freshly in the building.
Yo, one home.
How you doing, brother?
Chilling, bro. Chilling. What's going on with you?
I'm chilling, man. Been grinding all day. I see you rolling up that Unicorn Tears, right?
Yeah. No, hey, we're about to roll up the Unicorn Tears.
Oh, we're about to? Okay.
This is the Skunkberry, though.
Oh, that's from the med side. Yeah. Where's the med at?
That's on 80 South Pennsylvania. In Denver, Colorado. Go check it out.
Right. If you need that rec, you just simply go to 11 West Hampton Boulevard, right on the corner of Broadway and Hampton.
Or 114th and Cherokee in North Glen.
Right now, they got those $69 half ounces out the door.
Wow.
But check it out. We got DJ Sin in the house.
What is up? How y'all doing?
Living. Like I said, great day.
It's good to see y'all.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. We got a real special guest in the house today. We got the homie DNA sitting in with us.
What it do, my boy?
It's chilling.
DNA.
Hell yeah.
And man, I don't even know, man, if y'all ready for this, because these last couple episodes we've been hitting y'all with, man, have been hitters straight across the board, like top-notch cats. I almost said motherfuckers, but I try to remember not.
Nice. Anyway.
It's all right.
But some of them don't fuck mothers.
All right.
So we have to keep it. You know,
you could do it, brother.
I know. I just got to put it.
It's all good. We're adults.
Yeah. But like I said, we're bringing you hitters left and right, man. And we got another one. We got a real, like, almost legend OG in the building, man. He's been part of the first mixtape, you know, show here in Denver. I mean, it started since, you know, the KDKO days, and he's still doing it today, rocking for you. We got Ricky O. What's going on?
Ricky O.
It's like an honor to be here with you.
Stop it.
Brother Joe.
Stop
and
it.
DJ Sin. I love you, Sin.
Love you, too.
And Elvis. And you, my brother. And my pops is in the house,
right.
too.
We got your dad in the house. Introduce yourself real quick.
I'm Rich. Ricky O's father.
One of the best drummers to ever come out of the Mile High, Colorado
Richard
area.
Richard Senior. So yes. We're all here. And I'm blessed to be here. So
and we're
thank
breathing.
You very much.
We're so
like
happy
I said, great
to
day
you.
To be alive. You know what I mean? Oh,
yeah. Breathing the smoke.
Exactly. Yeah. Good llama.
It's like, yeah, we're getting high.
The Smoking Joe, you know I mean? Podcast, right?
Smoking Joe Thunder podcast.
Smoking Joe Thunder podcast.
With Elvis
smoking with Joe too. Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do, people smoke.
Well, I am smoking with Joe Thunder right now.
That's what happens when you hang out
and
with
DJ Sin.
Right.
When you hang out with Joe, you smoke with Joe.
You definitely smoke, man.
DNA.
You
DNA
might have
house.
To actually chill a little bit while, you know, it wears off a little bit and then have to drive home. Or we might have to get you a ride, a car, your Uber or something.
That's
you know
fine, brother. You know, I trust you guys. I trust you.
Appreciate that.
I'll let Sin give me a ride home. It's
there
all
you
good.
Go. There you go.
It's all good.
Got you.
Yeah.
I know you do. That's all.
Hey, so for the people that don't know who you are, man, just give them a little introduction, who you are, you know what I mean? Kind of like where you grew up, what area, you know what I'm saying?
We go that far back.
That far back, bro. I'm pretty close to you, so it's not that far back.
Okay.
Bro. I look good, you know what I mean? I got
that's
the weed, yeah. You know?
Well, I was like an OG interview and an OG, so
exactly.
I trust
but you're
that.
You're definitely above me, though, man. I look up to you, bro, because like without you, there wouldn't be people like me or half the DJs in this town, you know what I mean?
And I appreciate that.
That's an honor to you, bro.
I try to be humble and stay humble and stay grounded.
You did some of like the first shit. Like I'm just gonna jump into it real quick. You were like one of the first people. You get promos when you work in the radio, and they would be copies, and you get four copies. And like you said, you would get four turntables.
Yes.
And one homie goes in one room, and you're in the other.
Yes.
And you guys are remixing the songs. You're scratching while he's, you know,
doing
what I mean?
The mix
exactly,
you know,
and then trade off. Talk about that shit.
And
you guys,
hosting the show.
They weren't doing that shit back then. New York was doing that shit.
Yeah.
Then. No one else.
Exactly.
Us
yes.
And New York, and we really don't get props for that.
No, Denver won't get props
Never.
For doing that. But it was like the
we
same
were doing
time.
The same time.
The same time. The DJ Red Alert and them cats, Mr.
Exactly.
Magic, them cats were in New York. We had Danny Harris, one of my mentors, and he was the music director at KDKO at the time when I first started.
Right.
First started. Doing my internship, because it was an internship. I did it the right way. I, you know, got on the, I told you I was the Jefferson County Youth Program.
For about a week or two.
And they had me, you know, I had to work at Arvada High for like 2 weeks and scrape gum off the bottom of the,
and sweeping the halls,
the desks and mop the bathroom and clean the chalkboards and all that. But my counselor promised me that I'm going to get you where you want to be. He told me you wanted to get into radio. That's your dream. So this is what we're going to do for you. So 2 weeks later, she called me up and gave me the opportunity to work at KPPL.
Right.
107.5. That was where KS is at right now.
Yeah.
But it was an adult contemporary station back right. then. And I did like a month internship, like three and a half weeks. My girl, Debbie C. DeBaca, pulled me in. She was my counselor, you know, my mentor over at that station. And she worked there under the general manager. And so she was like one of the bigwigs that accepted me into the internship there. But I was blessed because that's where I got to meet my compadre, who I get to do the Latin Soul Party with to this day,
right.
Mr. Danny Valenzuela. He's like one of Denver's best engineers. Sure. Most of the radio stations, transmitters, he built and maintenanced AM and FM here in Denver, Colorado, yeah. back in the day. And that's what he originally does. Now, you know, he transformed into the medical field, you know, but that was his forte. He repaired and updated and expanded all the radio stations all in Denver, Colorado.
New technology.
So, and he knew everybody at KDKO. So when me and him got to be friends, and he DJs too, he spun all over town. Rachel's was one of his big haunts. That's where all the Chicanos used to go over there, Rachel's Lounge. Off of, what's that, 56th and Sheridan, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
Over there, is that the
yeah.
right spot, right, address? And he boomed that for a long time. He used to do La Fiesta. We weren't too far from that over here at Five Points. A couple of weeks ago for Juneteenth, but he used to do La Fiesta back in his heyday and had that packed. So, and well, he's originally from El Paso, but he taught me a lot, took me under his wing. You know, we made mixtapes together, had me over for dinner.
And you guys are talking about that.
And got
right?
to know my parents, you know, because my mom and dad were always with me back then, you know. So,
well, real quick, talk about how it started though. Like, you were doing your theme, making the mixtapes,
okay.
and he wasn't feeling good, right?
Yeah. Well, okay.
Having a bad day.
So, well, since we're talking about Danny, he introduced me to Carlos Lando. Carlos Lando was the program director at KDKO back in about 80, 81, 82, 83, 84. And he was the midday guy, too. And he got me in when my internship ended at KPPL. I had opportunity to do the internship, keep it going at KDKO.
Right.
So he pulled me in over there, and I got to meet. He asked me what I wanted to do, Carlos, and my counselor, and she said, "Well, let's get you in. You know, let's get you in and do what you want to do." I said, "I want to work in programming and the music department," because I was always interested in, you know, being a program director and doing music too, you know,
right.
the
music, in your blood
the music
your
director. So that's where they put me. That's where I was at, based at, music director and programming under Carlos Lando and Danny Harris. So right away, you know, I mean, I wasn't like naive to everything. I kind of knew, you know, a little bit about radio, but I was ready to learn more, you know, and get
sure.
deeper into it.
And you were young, right? You were 17?
Yeah. Yes. When I did my internship, I was still in high school
yeah,
when
tight.
I was doing my internship.
You had a bomb-ass counselor, I'll say
so,
that.
Oh, yeah, Bobby. I remember you, Bobby. She took care of me. But meeting Danny Harris and Carlos Lando, you know, they pulled me in right away, expected me to start doing a lot of stuff because they seen I had natural, kind of natural way about it and talent and already knew how to mix.
Right.
So I know when I was chopping it up with Joe yesterday, and we kind of talked about this, Danny Harris, and I was his intern.
Right.
And I was with him right there. I used to stay late and watch him do the show. The legendary original mixed show in Denver, Colorado was the House Party on KDKO, Monday through Friday from 10 to midnight. Mm-hmm. And one, he wasn't feeling good. I guess he was having problems or something like that on his phone. He said, "Go ahead, Ricky." I said, "I'm not going to announce you, but go ahead and sit in.
And take over.
And take over.
Take control of the reins."
I had a blast, man. You know, and of course, you know, they had all the records, right, all the new releases.
Killing it.
You weren't nervous at all?
Five copies. I was nervous, yeah, over the years, I've learned to embrace my nervousness and turn it into positive.
Tell them what happened to you that night. You got to talk with Michael Jackson.
Oh, well, that was another day. That was another day.
Michael Jackson.
I'll tell that we'll tell that story in a little bit. But this particular night when I had to sit in,
right,
and do the sit in on the house party,
you killed it.
That was like my audition. A week later, Danny came to me, sat me down because I was going in like every day. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my job now, so I was going in I do like the afternoon shift, so I go in like about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd stay till like about midnight. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, I liked how you worked it, Riccio, so this is what I want to do. I want to bring you on Friday night with me, but we're going to rock 4 turntables. I'll be 2 turntables in the main studio. You get the 2 in the production room, and we're going to go live and rock 4 turntables."
Right.
So, and how old were you at this time?
17.
This is still 17. Okay.
So that's what we did. I took a crate in the studio. He had his 2 crates in the main. And I was able to go, you know, if I needed something from his crate or he needed something from mine.
Do you remember any of the kind of things that you guys really kind of like remixed or kind of like, you know what I mean? Some of your favorites?
I would definitely say at that time, stuff that was hitting would probably be like Art of Noise by Beatbox, you know, or Beatbox, Art of Noise, uh-huh, you know, and Tour de France, you know, the Kraftwerk, stuff like that. But we were playing Run DMC when they first came out. Houdini.
Exactly.
We busted out Houdini 5 Minutes of Funk. Like, this story is cool because we get record packages like every day.
Right.
They would mail them to us. And we'd get like 10 copies of everything, at least from the majors, you know. Right. The independents, we might only get 2. We opened up the package, Jive Records, it was Friends and 5 Minutes of Funk.
Uh-huh.
We were in audition, and this was like an hour before we went on at 10, and we were putting him in queue while he was doing his regular show. And we liked Friends, you know, Friends was sitting, that's the one record company was working on. But the B-side was 5 Minutes of Funk. Ooh, and
classic. That's like one of my favorite songs of all time.
We liked that one more, you know, so let's kick off with that one. So I had made him a real cool intro, kind of like yours, you know, for the podcast here, made him a real nice intro, and he used it all the time. So that's what we did. We played the intro and busted out 5 Minutes of Funk, first time ever in all the United States.
God damn.
Wow.
And we mixed it. We had to mix it for like about 10 minutes
right,
because the phones were blowing off the hook.
Off the hook.
Say, who is that? Who is that? You know, finally went on like after it, put the instrumental on, you mixed it in and went and opened the mics. Introduce the show, open the show with our voices, and say, "You just heard brand new Houdini, 5 Minutes of Funk. We busted it out first."
Hell, it's so cool that you got to experience to play music that way, like, you know, just to be one of the first to play.
It was really a dream come true, you know. I was like in my world there. That was like an experience I'll never forget.
For real, huh? Hey, you know, one of my favorite ones, Houdini, is the fucking Haunted House. Very first one.
I prefer the vocoder version. The one, "If you didn't come to party, take your dead ass home." That one.
Mm-hmm.
I love that version.
Hell yeah, man.
But that was the first time I did the mix show. So I was doing that almost every night with him. Or sometimes he took off, I had to do it myself, by myself.
Holding it down.
And that's when I would invite my friend, you know, Danny Valenzuela, to come sit in with me, or other friend that I do the show with, Jam and Joe Serna. Mm-hmm. We love Jam and Joe. He come and sit in with me. Or our other friend that is a big radio name in Denver, Colorado, legend, Mr. Paul Chavez. He was part of the KDKO crew.
Okay.
And he would host the show, and I'd be there right there with him, mixing with him too. So we'd trade off, and it was a good experience. But that evolved into me just being a part-time air personality, too. So like my dad said, what was it, the Triumph? Was it the, was it, well, it wasn't the Triumph Tour. It was the The Jacksons were at Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, when they came, just the Jackson
they did,
family.
They did two
two shows
at Mile High Stadium.
I seen them one night.
I got to go too because of KDKO. I was up in the rafters, but I was happy. You know.
How old were you?
And this had to be I just turned 18 then because I was a little bit older.
I was a little kid, so you are older than me. No, I'm just playing.
And what it was is now my dad is over here. Yeah. You know, saying I got to interview Michael Jackson. I didn't get to interview Michael Jackson because he was on stage. But I had to go. I was on the air during the second show because I went to see the first show Friday night. So I was on Saturday night. And Cheryl Steele, our news director at KDKO, called me up. Said, put me on, Ricky O. So we got to talk about, you know, the concert and all that stuff. So she wanted to go out. So I was already on the air, so I put her up first time. Like I think this is like the first time I was running the board by myself doing a regular show. And I put her on, put the phone on, put her on. And me and her ended up talking for like 20 minutes about Michael Jackson and the Jacksons live in concert. Almost like, you know, it was like crazy. We didn't even realize what time it was. I think I forgot to do the legal ID. We were so much into it.
Yeah, I was just running the zone, huh?
And I recorded it. So, and I gave it to Carlos, and Carlos was kind of impressed with that. You know, I mean, you know, he critiqued it, you know, said, well, you probably should have did this and that. But overall, you did pretty good, Ricky.
Right.
You know, so it was pretty cool.
Let's backtrack a little because I did kind of just jump into it. What was your big assignment while you were an intern at KDKO?
My biggest assignment?
Yeah, one of the legendary events that's happened in Colorado. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I had to work in every department. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it probably didn't even have nothing to do with music, but
I'm talking about the B-Boy Summit.
You were talking about the big old breakdance theme back in 80.
Now you said that was your big theme when you were an intern. You lined up a lot of shit that kind of put it on you.
At the Denver Center?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Were you there?
No, I wish I was there. I wish I was there for sure.
Well, I took my mom and dad over there. There are so many people there, hell, Pops. I mean, it was unbelievable. I never seen so many people
was it crazy?
In my life. Yeah. Hanging off the rafters, and remember, they just built the brand new.
They were on top of the dome piece little like archway.
That was brand new.
They were hanging on that shit, watching the whole event.
Yeah, they were hanging off. We had Kevin Brown, which is the morning guy at KDKO, was emceed the event, and he had to tell him, be careful out there because we don't want nobody falling off the rafters.
Yeah, you can hear him in the video. He's not even like telling him, hey. Yeah.
The kids were going crazy though, but that was like they brought in Rocksteady Crew for the main event, but they had. Like the DNS Connection and the Radioactive, all the old school B-boy groups back then, you know, battled each other.
Right.
And Radioactive judged the contest, you know, so it was cool.
And whoever won got to be in Beat Street, right?
Yeah, well, they
were supposed to.
Like in some commercials and stuff. Like they ended up doing some stuff later on. And I think they even. The winner of the crew, they pulled them out East Coast and presented them out there. The Rocksteady Crew had to do something out in the East Coast, and they invited the winner out there to see. See, we're coast to coast worldwide now. Yeah. B-boying is growing, so breakdancing and hip-hop and everything was just exploding at that time. So it was a cool thing. So I was just blessed to be a part of it,
right,
Brother Joe, so. It was cool, but that was like one thing I'll never forget. And I had to help, you know, get all the music together for all the break groups. You know,
you were saying you had to put them on tapes because they didn't want nothing
skipping. Oh, yeah, we didn't want nothing skipping, so I had to put everything on cassette. We had those one cassettes.
If you don't know what a cassette is.
Do you remember a cassette?
I remember a cassette. But some of these youngsters might not.
I
barely remember a cassette.
I know
actually, this cat Rashid gave us cassettes.
But I was.
I want one. If you still have one.
I just put songs on the mixtape, but I didn't do it
the
for long
button?
Because CDs came like quick.
Did you use the pause button? Or were you mixing actually?
No, I wasn't. I was just adding songs. Like I remember.
Yeah, waiting for the song to come on and then push and record. Yeah.
Or record from the radio.
Yeah,
that's cool. See, I did that too when
everyone
I was coming
did that
up
shit.
Though.
Put the little
I
piece
cassette.
Of paper in the corner so you could record.
Jump up as soon as your shit started playing. Like, oh, shit,
never
I'm going to catch
like
you.
The first 4 seconds of that
right,
shit. I never bought pre-recorded tapes, but I loved the blank tapes. That was, you know what, that was part of my allowance of pops. First thing I went with my little
go buy blanks.
$5 was go buy blanks. Yeah, or maybe a record, you know, or two. Yeah.
You remember your first couple records?
My first couple records? Well, I had to do a little thing about on KUVO a couple weeks back because we were talking about record day on the KUVO a couple weeks back. So my very first record, and this would probably be corny to you guys, but it was...
That you bought, though? Not that you got
it? No, that I didn't buy it. I received it.
Okay.
I was 2 years old. Uh-huh. I did know how to put the needle to the groove on the record player.
Needle to the
groove. I used to get my hand stuck in the record player all the time because it was an old Montgomery Awards record player. That you used to have
did
to
you
pop
buy that
out.
Shit on Broadway? The big old my Castle to, Castle Montgomery Awards back in the day?
Yeah, I worked there.
You worked there? Oh, shit. I call that shit like the Enterprise. It reminds me of the shit from New Jack City. It used to be Montgomery Awards, like 10 stories high, right there on Broadway in Alameda. Yeah. To get G.I. Joes and records.
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe's are records. They sold records there, too.
Yeah, they did.
You go to the third floor. It's like bargain basement. They had all kinds of cheap shit.
I used to repair that stuff. I used to fix all that stuff that would break or get damaged. I'd fix it, repaint it, take the dent out, and redo it. And, you know,
they sold it.
Put it back out and resell it again.
They had all the dope video games. I remember that shit. You go there, play video games, Atari and shit. I'm really dating myself now, but fuck y'all.
It's all right. We're traveling back in time.
For real, dog.
Because Ricky O's in the building.
Like, real quick, to go to Montgomery Wards, bro, was like a treat, bro, because they had like three different like video game systems, like 100 games, and this is before Nintendo and all that bullshit. And then they had toys, and they had like fucking records, bro. Like, real quick one.
They had everything.
I was into, like, heavy metal, right? Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, you can go ahead and buy a record. So I was like, all right. So I went and bought this fucking Black Sabbath with Devil Baby on the motherfucking cover. My mom looked at me like, you are fucking tripping. You better put that back. So then I put it back and grab Run DMC. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. Yeah, grab Run DMC and then fucking, I couldn't buy no heavy metal records. But, yeah, Montgomery Ward's food was the lick, bro. I'm telling you. Where was that at? Right there on Alameda and Broadway. And it was like literally like a building 10 stories tall. And it was fucking huge.
It was the first time I've ever heard
you
about that.
You do the CD tape or something. Oh. Break and you would
right across the street was a place that sold nothing but big screen TVs.
They didn't know how to do or you were doing.
There's like a Subway right there right now. There's a Kinko's. Like, yeah.
There was a couple Montgomery Awards.
Right? Well, yeah, there was one in the mall. There was one at Lakeside Mall. But that was like the spot. You know what I'm saying? That was the shit.
Everywhere else was in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But I remember, like my dad just reminded me, though, I would buy cassettes, and I remember, you guys used to go to Radio Shack. Did you used to love Radio Shack? Yeah. I loved Radio Shack.
That's where I got the first mixer.
That's where I got my first mixer, too.
Radio Shack, the $89
Yeah,
one.
I saved up for that. It took me a long time to get that bad boy. But they used to have a little splicer for you to edit your cassette tapes. They were basically repair them, you know.
We repairing cassette tapes and y'all ain't paying attention. What the fuck we're doing. Yeah.
But that's actually where I learned how to edit, you know, was doing that because when I started interning at KDKO and they had me doing commercials and stuff in production, we were still doing it on reel-to-reel tapes, not computer like we were doing it now, you know, on software. So
cutting
we had to use the razor blade and the
Scotch
little,
tape.
The little wax pen, you know, to mark the spot you wanted to cut and then the splicing tape. You know, where you wanted to tape it at.
Right.
I actually became pretty good at doing that because all them guys were masters at it. Kevin Brown, we had our afternoon guy used to be called Cooch. That was his on-air name, Cooch, Paul Marcucci.
Paul Marcucci, shout out.
So Kevin Brown Coach. In the morning, Carlos Lando, who is our general manager at KUVO now, that's been since 85. He's the midday guys and his assistant program director at that time when he first started. And then Cooch did afternoons and Danny Harris did the night show. So that's how that went. And that was my favorite, I think my favorite KDKO lineup. I love Dr. Daddy-O back in the day because he's the originator of KDKO. Props to Dr. Daddy-O. Love you, brother. Because you were an inspiration to me. And my dad used to listen to him all the time. He had KDKO on when I was small, so.
Right.
Cool.
How are you getting away with playing the hip-hop? Because I heard he was always against it. Or was it, were you way later?
Dr. Daddy-O at that time, when I first started my internship, he was the sales manager. Uh-huh. So he wasn't programming at that time.
Oh, okay.
And KDKO, I would say they were doing, you know, their.
I remember like hearing like a little bit. I remember hearing like Roxanne on the fucking KDKO.
Well, the R&B Universal R&B chart, because they were named like best R&B station in the country in Billboard back in the day. That's a big one.
That blood. That's what right she there. Said.
But they No more? Okay.
No, not.
No, you talk about the blood. She just wanted a tiny hit.
Sin has to pace herself.
You know what?
She be trying to hang with us. She'll be quiet all of a sudden.
You see how she was asking all those questions all of a sudden, right as soon as we started, and then all of a sudden she's like,
It's all good. Sorry. Go ahead. I appreciate you.
They like to call me out.
No, you're good.
Nah, she tries to hang. Actually, I would say she doesn't try to hang with us. Hey, she doesn't try to hang with us. She definitely hangs with us. Yeah. Like, no, definitely.
Sure. I mean, I do
but
my
by
best.
The end of the night, like, she, we've gone.
We're all high, though.
Even people that don't smoke. Like, last night, Lorenzo Effo was like, I'm high.
He's like, shit, I was high.
And we didn't even.
We're having fun. Right.
Yep.
I love being here, brother.
Hey, no, we appreciate you coming here, man. You know, because you definitely got a gang of wealth and knowledge and history, bro.
See, I forgot awesome. Where I left off.
So we're talking about, like, I asked you about Dr. Daddy-O not having hip-hop, and you said he was actually not the man at the time.
He was the sales manager.
So you guys could play hip-hop.
Oh, there's an old school picture of you right there, too, right?
I told him not to do just
he's playing videos in
the
background,
again.
And we're reminiscing over here on the video stage.
Yeah, you know, historian over here. Right on. Mayor.
But we, like, what was big back then? Luther Vandross, Michael Jackson, Billy Ocean. That was, like, their top 40. With the house party at night, that's when we were able to open up the format, and we were playing stuff like Debbie Deb and Soul Sonic Force, Planet Patrol, you know, all the Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, all that. We opened up the format, you know. And that's because that's what
it's like
it was.
The freaks come
so
out at night.
So during the day, we were really real adult oriented, but at night we were playing for the kids.
Like
hit,
I said, the
hit.
Freaks come out at night.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? Lights go and down. The old people kind of go to sleep. They love loosen it up a little bit.
They loved the house party. The house party was a very successful show. I think it even surprised, you know, like the Danny Harris himself, mm-hmm. the one that hosted the show, and that was his idea to do it. But even Carlos was amazed that the show was taking off like that, you know. So and that was another part. But at night, that the station would open up into a whole other thing. We're able to break records, make records, you know.
Do you remember any like the big records you broke besides the Houdini?
A lot of them. By the time I remember, the Nucleus stuff.
Jam on it.
We were the first to play that one.
So is Jam on It? I'm always confused. Like, I know what it is but is
that's
it like
so
West
cool.
Coast or East
Ever.
Coast?
Mm-hmm. Ever?
Jam on It?
Y'all know Jam on It? Like in Boys in the Hood? Jam like, when the fuck
is No, but you were the first one in Denver to play
all
it?
All the electro stuff.
Yeah.
Like the first one in Denver to play it?
Rocket.
That's crazy.
You know
we're
what saying?
Like the only one that played it, though, because at that time nobody else wanted to touch it. Top 40 stations, were they wouldn't even consider that till later on, you know?
You remember Rocket?
Oh, yeah.
I consider that kind of like the first like breakdancing song, in my opinion. That's just
Herbie Hancock. He's coming
opinion.
In town. Mm-hmm. I got to go see him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, he is? When's he coming in town?
September 17th, he'll be down at the, what is it, the Opera House?
Let's
I know,
get him down.
Get him over here.
Your,
does he smoke weed?
18, yeah, I think he does.
Hey,
on the 8th.
We will bless you. Herbie, we're going to shout you out and we're going to tag you, Hancock.
He's doing 2 days here.
You should try to hook that up or see if he wants to come
through. Okay.
Get a
we'll
podcast,
have to do
come
that.
Through
we'll
here.
Work on
that.
It.
Yeah,
we'll hook you up with we too.
We got to do it. You can make it happen. Let's make it happen.
Oh, I just want to see him.
Yeah, he's
know?
A legend, bro. Like for real. Like, yeah. like
you
I said,
got the radio station though too, so you could have him, and then we could have him.
Well, it'd be blessing if KUVO could get Herbie Hancock in an interview. That would be tight too, you know, because we play him all the time.
Yeah.
All his jazz standards and the electro stuff too, you know. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We could do some. Make it worth his time.
We'll make it worth his while for sure.
I know. Well, let's work on that. I think we could.
I mean, you're a radio station. He'll like probably want to do that.
Well, I'm sure they're probably gonna be giving away tickets and stuff too. All hopefully, you know. Store. Yeah, because he's come. He's doing 2 days in Colorado, so Denver and Fort Collins. So.
Right, right.
That'd be awesome. So let's work on that.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll have to definitely do that. Have him come down here.
I'm totally down.
See. Your light bulb is working. It's
going
off.
I see the light bulb
Sin.
Right above her head. Yeah, it's up. You talk glowing.
Right on, missing. Yeah. I'll live. But yeah, we broke a lot, everything. We that inspired a show. Like, we were doing special shows like Monday through Friday before the house party. So like on Tuesday nights, that used to be the day that we would get all the new music, Tuesday. So right out the box, we busted out Chaka Khan, I Feel For You.
Oh my God.
Out the package. Yeah. Like, yeah. We took the record out.
Yeah.
Played like the first minute of it in queue.
And then we just put it on.
We just put it on. It was that. See, you can't do that nowadays, you know?
Right.
The top 40 stations wouldn't even think of doing that. They want to make sure it's bona fide on the Billboard chart before they even put it on.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, we just put it on. You know, if it sounded good to us.
If the beat was kid.
And
that
Danny Harris
seconds.
Trusted my ear, uh-huh. And I already loved his ear, you know, because all the stuff they were programming on KDK was the best of the best. But breaking new music, we did it all the time. And it was a pleasure. But we would literally do it like that. Uh-huh. Test it out like 5 minutes before we put it on.
I feel like that culture is dead now. Like, breaking music, I feel like it doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Like, it don't.
Everyone wants you to be certified already before they even think about looking at
it. Well, especially the rhythmic top 40s. Like,
yeah.
I did get to work at KS104 and 107.5, and it was frustrating working with them guys because they didn't do it like that, you know?
Why was that? They just
you It just wasn't the way they did things, you know? It had to be like a top 10 hit before they even considered it.
Got
to
be on the list.
Maybe once in a while they would get out and break it, you know, I mean, early, not totally break it, but they
That's why I like listening to DJ Sin on 104.7 every once in a while, you know? Mm. You know, you play whatever you want.
She be playing that trip.
They play whatever they want, though,
too.
Well,
the drop...
That's lit,
The drop, Denver needed the drop for a long, long time.
For a long time.
I love the drop. I'm a supporter of the drop since day one. Ask Nikki. I've been supporting them from the inception, you know, and even before when they were just on HD2 and streaming, I was showing them much love, and I still am.
Yeah.
Now that they're taking off on 104.7, they're almost taking the city over, you know, and they deserve it. They work hard, you know, so.
And the way they do things.
Yeah.
It's right. It's like they play everything.
Well,
you can play whatever you want.
Told Nikki all these stories, so she's heard them before.
And
so.
They play all the local music.
Yeah. We used to break records. Well, that's the big thing, too. I think them playing local artists.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's opening up right now, too. You know, a lot of people are realizing, like, there's a dope scene here. And come on, support your local people. Help your scene thrive. Help.
You have to be about your community, too.
Yeah.
It's like...
There's
and
some
we
talent.
Have great talents, too.
Yeah. There's some awesome talent.
Hey, we got some talent
here
at the table.
Yeah,
we got
some
dope
room
MC
room.
Right here, DNA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
DNA right here.
Hey, when I seen you last time, Sin, like, put me on your music, and I was started listening. You got some dope stuff, bro. You know what I mean? What do you think about, like, you know, like, just shit nowadays? Like you said, you know what I mean? It's kind of harder. There's really no way. We can't make mixtapes. We can't, like, make, you know what I mean? It's like, you said, all through Apple or something.
Mixed MP3s.
Yeah, everything is, like, on Apple now. Like, everyone, you have to, like, put out an album. Even if it is a mixtape, you have to, like, release it and roll it out like it's an album, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I just feel like, as an artist, it's hard because everybody wants your money. They say they can promote your music to this person and get you heard by this person. But it's crazy. I feel like the market is so saturated, it's almost...
Wow.
You got to weed out all the
you
bullshit.
You really have to know the right people. Like,
I think they know
truly.
That at the drop. Went out there, told everybody to send in all their music. Because I think.
It's like so 20, saturated.
20,000 people or something like that.
Yeah.
All turned in their music. And they got their work cut out for them. But Nikki and Unique and DJ Different, Battle of Scratch, Mail Man, and PK, the gospel show on PK, you know, Sunday mornings. PK's good people from the Nuggets, the microphone announcer at the Nuggets. He's doing Sunday mornings on the drop.
The drop is dope, man. Like, shout out to them for real.
Yeah.
They play some of my music on the drop, too. So
they surprise me daily.
It's super lit.
Because I'll hear something. I really appreciate, like, the old school. They call them the Crate Classics.
Yeah.
But I love the Afro wave and the reggae. And then they even opening up the reggaeton.
But it's tight because they'll throw that in the mix throughout the day too. It's not just like specifically at a specific hour. Always, even though they have that, but
formula.
It's part of the formula.
Just, so we got to give it up to Nikki, America Jones. Love you, Mama. We love, but The Latin
and everybody,
soul
all the DJs on the drop too. They all put their music and their
they got
taste.
A small but mighty crew.
They got great
and they're
taste
working hard
the
over
music
there.
Yep, yep.
They
shout out.
Great music, you know.
I think I love the drop the most is because it reminds me a lot of KDKO when I first started there, and I told Nikki that, you know, that's why I love the drop so much, because it reminds me of my time when I first started working, and interning at KDKO. So
like time repeats itself. Greatness. It's,
yeah. So and in between, you know, when KDKO went off the air up until before the drop came, we were trying so hard behind the scenes to get that station going to FM, R&B and hip hop station forever. And, you know, I mean, no offense, because, you know, I love my brother Slim over at Jammin' 101.5 in Flow. You know, they're good friends. And my people, Tony V at KS and stuff, you know, but they wouldn't even think about doing what the drop is doing, you know. They probably would want to if they really left it up to them to do it that way, you know. They got their certain niche, how they do stuff, you know. But
aren't those radio stations owned by one person, like one company, like Sirius?
I mean, Max Media.
Or iHeart.
Max Media has Jammin' and Flow, or this Hot 107.1 now.
Yeah.
And what's Intercom has 107.5, and they also have other radio stations in the market too. KS isn't their only one. They have Alice.
So do they have so other people have certain control of what?
Yeah. Well. You so know, I guess they do have a local program director, but the head office in New York and L.A., you know, kind of steers them in the right direction, tells them how they want the station to go. The local people have, they put like a flavor on it, you know, but it's not organic like the drop, you know. I would say that. The drop
is the best.
You know.
They're not scared to take risks either. I like that kind of shit, especially in music.
And they're following the format of KUVO Jazz.
I was going to say, KUVO is the other... I mean, they're super dope. I really love what they do.
I love KUVO. Yeah, me too, a lot. They embraced the Latin Soul Party, which
Arturo
I do.
Arturo Gomez is the shit. Everybody over there really... I mean, they kill it. That's a dope station. I love what they do.
I love KUVO. My dad listens to KUVO.
The Mahogany Soul Hour. I know. I see it. It's amazing.
That's the new one he's wearing, too, with
Freddie Rodriguez. I know.
The late, great Freddie Rodriguez.
I was like, oh, shit.
We lost him to COVID last year, man. So that's sad. But they put him on this year's T-shirt. And we've been doing the Latin Soul Party for the last 13, going on 14 years. Friday nights. 8 to 10 p.m., KUVO.org, 89.3 FM. And when that's the mothership of The Drop.
Right.
The Drop, I'd say, our program director, Steve Chavis, and Carlos Lando, our general manager, spearheaded The Drop when they had the opportunity from NPR that they wanted to do something. And their NPR wants to build on and continue the legacy of hip-hop and running into future generations like they did with jazz, you know. So they're betting on hip-hop is going to be the new jazz into the future, but still be true to jazz in on its own too, you know. There's not that many jazz stations left, though, you know. And our station being the Latin Soul Party, we kind of open it up, you know. We play a lot of Santana, Carlos Santana, a lot of Malo, a lot of Al Chicano,
yeah.
You know, but we'll also play, you know,
everything from Santana to Al Chicano.
Yeah, we play all the old school stuff, and we play some old school R&B like Johnny Guitar Watson and Gino Vanelli. I don't know if you guys remember Gino Vanelli, but he was a big crossover star because of Soul Train. He was like a white guy on Soul Train that sold a lot of albums because he was funky, you know, he was good.
Funky, you know, with it.
Yeah, so... I mean, we're just, I love KUVO jazz. My dad loves KUVO. Of course, my dad goes all the way back to the KADX days, the original jazz station on 105, where Akul's at now. The original jazz station in Colorado in the 70s was KADX. So, and my dad being a jazz musician himself, excellent drummer extraordinaire. So
let's talk about that real quick, because you said your dad was one of the best drummers, and that's kind of how you got your start in hip hop. Is by the age of two or three, you were already rocking with like adult crews.
He was showing me the ropes. I knew how to hold a beat. I could run. I was in the pocket at 2 years old.
During that time, I was playing with him. He used to play with my trio, and we were playing at the Senate Lounge.
And how old was he?
He was about what?
It had to be like about 8 or 9 years old.
And he was rocking with y'all, right?
Yeah, yeah. And and we were playing together. We had a quartet. We were playing there, and I got sick one night, and so I says,
well, real sick,
real sick. So I says, sit in for me, and he knew all the songs that the group did because he was at all the rehearsals all the time.
He was there,
and he'd sit in with them during the rehearsals, so. My bass player said, okay, he asked the club, he says, yeah, you can deal. He's a show, so that's okay. So he can play here.
Bass player Bob was my chaperone.
You were like the Fifth Temptation, like that sat and
had
came in
step
to cover.
Up the game.
Yep, exactly. We put you in, Sonny.
And I had to
hope that you're ready.
What happened, Pops? You got like pneumonia real bad or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to, I did it, you know.
Yeah,
you
said
it. And Dad paid me.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hell
yeah.
Got the gig money and everything.
Do you still play that? Yeah. Would you still play?
Matter of fact, the club.
Not as much as I like to, but I
the club owner, next day, he says, why don't you stay home and get some more rest? We liked your son, so they enjoyed him.
They wanted him to go on vacation.
Hey, yeah, just go ahead and chill for a while.
That's funny.
That's cool.
No, but, yeah, my dad's one of the best. He taught me, and then later on, I started learning how to read music and stuff, so I got lessons. Played all through school, elementary, junior high, and high school.
Were you in your own bands as well?
Me and my homies tried to get bands together. Yeah.
What kind of bands? Rock bands? Or
we did. Well, we were mostly like in the funk bands, okay. But we also liked what I had a friend I loved, like the Police and all that stuff back then, so we tried to do all that
stuff. I love the Police, too.
You know, I like the Police Sting, you know. You know, but they also liked Zep and Black Sabbath and all that stuff too. But but me, you know, being the R&B guy, I said, well, we gotta do some funk, you know. I was all learned into Earth, Wind and Fire and the Average White Band and Tower of Power and all that stuff. So, you know, we had to do that too. So
right.
So we tried, we attempted it. Mostly like when we were supposed to be practicing for the band, and we ended up the teacher leave for 15 minutes or so, leave us there by ourselves. We wouldn't practice. We'd do our own thing.
Right. That's even tight, because most kids nowadays would be on their phone or something like that. Y'all are like, fuck that shit. We're going to practice our little band shit with this last 30 minutes. You know what I mean? That's tight, bro.
I know in junior high school, he played in the talent show. So my bass player, my piano player, the trio I had, he took them over there for, they had a, one of those things they do for their parents' talent shows. But
yeah, a crew.
So, but he ended up taking my bass player and the piano player, and she's a vocalist, very good vocalist. And he played the drums for the talent show. So they were surprised that he was doing all these jazz tunes and ballads and stuff that they did. And they actually,
it was like a little medley of like different stuff, right? That he was just jamming to.
We had to do like a 10-minute performance. So we had to do like about
10
four,
minutes of drum. That's pretty impressive.
So we did a little bit of everything, you know, played a couple standards and did a little drum solo. And then I had to take questions from the audience, you know, so they're over there asking me how long I've been playing and everything. So it was fun.
Hell yeah.
Stuff like that I like barely remember though, but now that you brought it up, I was like, yeah, that's what we did.
And then like the drums eventually led to hip hop. Who were some of your early hip hop influences? Who are you hearing first? You know what I mean? That you caught
your
attention.
I have to give the credit to that Houdini, because that was amazing.
That was
breaking.
That has to be
five
my number one album.
Of funk first.
I was telling you that in UTFO, like flip flop, like back and forth, but.
But I was loving everything, but at the same time, you know, besides loving all the hip hop that was happening at that time, and that was like the early days of hip hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the '80s, that was really Run DMC and LL Cool J.
That was before that.
First coming.
That was before that. That was Houdini. That was UTFO.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Run DMC and them were starting, but they kind of caught on a little more later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mostly because of
I even put the Fat Boys like before.
Oh, like I love the Fat Boys too.
Their first two albums, Curtis Blow. You know what I mean?
We broke the Fat Boys too. We did. We was talking about the Fat Boys, and I love the Fat Boys. You know, but that, the producer that did Curtis Blow and all them, he was
before his time, bro. He was way ahead of his time.
He was doing all that, so he was real hot at that time, producing all them groups. No, but
he had it unlocked.
I love the Fat Boys, the Disco 3. When they first came out, they were called the Disco 3, not the Fat Boys. But they had a song called Fat Boys.
Yeah.
Then they said, well, we better just be calling ourselves the Fat Boys because the song took off.
Have you guys ever seen Crush Groove?
Yeah. And that's a cool little story. They kind of cheesed it up a little bit.
Yeah,
but
it's cool.
But it's kind of basically the story of what happened, you know. They just kind of hollered.
Crush Groove.
You don't know Crush Groove, Sin?
Russell Simmons, Run DMC, LL.
I'll have to bring my DVD for you to borrow.
DVD?
I got to go get my DVD.
Oh, I think they stream it on Prime Video, though, if you want to stream it. It's up there.
We got Amazon Prime.
I need to get it. Yeah, I should get it.
You got Prime?
No, it's not.
Like Sheila E., Fat Boys.
Netflix.
Run DMC.
Yeah, I have it all. I have Hulu and Netflix.
Hulu. Yeah. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that Summer of Love. I want to see that.
I've always wanted like a movie poster of Crush Groove so I could put like in my office whenever I get office.
Okay, if I see one, because I like to go to all the record revivals, you know, the vinyls.
And I need a Nipsey Hussle concert poster.
You need I think everybody needs a Nipsey Hussle.
They're there. I mean, this one in Boulder has some. I just got to go drive and buy one for $20. And then, you know, biggies. Just I want to drive to Boulder.
Well, like $20 you wanted for your Al Hurricane, Brother Alvis downstairs. I might have to get that. Yeah. A clean copy of a Al Hurricane and Tiny Maury album.
So you still collect downstairs. Vinyl?
I do, not as much as I used to, because I got plenty of it.
This sucks moving that bitch. You know?
While the new records, too, are expensive, I don't know if I'm willing to pay $25 for an album.
Nah.
Not when I was...
Neds.
It was expensive for $8.99 back in my day.
Right.
But $25 for a record?
Yeah.
I love too much.
I have so much respect for vinyl, like people that did that, like had because I started off as like a Serato DJ, you know, like I had all my music in my computer. So to have all the equipment that I already bring and have and also bring crates of records.
Crates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that takes dedication. Like that's a lot of dedication. I mean, I've had the Blank Records. And bringing those turntables is just...
That's hard work.
Hard work, you know? So
it's the crates. I hauled them all.
Yeah. The crates.
The crates, then that, on top of that, it's like, that's such... I don't even know. I think I would have...
You
I
just
still
have to know what you're playing
DJ,
already,
but
right?
Like,
you just get your set.
Well, you have to have like a little...
It's just your sets,
I had what, two crates of 45s too to go with the LPs too, just in case,
with
you know.
The regulars, huh?
Yeah, so.
I used to DJ in cars with my homie Todd, RIP, and he had the whole DJ set of the first cat you kind of meet in college, you know what I mean? And we DJed this wedding for this sheriff's posse, and we literally had to take this shit up like this ladder to the barn, dog.
We have some sad stories about that.
I can imagine.
Crates and fucking amps. God.
So,
I'm lazy motherfucker sometimes.
So I've experienced it, but I've never had
to. I try to carry all kinds of heavy shit.
You know, like how you all. So I have so much respect for that.
Wow, that's tough.
But working DJs are old school DJs still, and now they appreciate Serato so much. They're just like,
they love Serato.
We were just talking about that before you got here about Tech 12.
Thank you for letting me touch your mixer and your turntables, Sin.
Yeah,
I know.
He took a picture with them.
No,
I had to let him. Anyone else, I wouldn't have let, but I was like, it's Ricky O, the OG.
I'm blessed to be able to touch DJ Sin's mixer and turntables. You know, that was an honor. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate
it. I took some pictures too, so you see your stuff
on
my page, on my social media,
and my mixer.
I said, this is Sin's gear. You know what? I seen your hat downstairs too. I want one.
You do?
I'm going to come buy one and have you sign it for me, okay?
Oh my God.
Please.
I've been selling them,
Sin. Okay, I will.
They're selling. You better hurry up.
They're selling.
I know. I'm going
to
have to go get one before they sell out.
I think we're out of like certain colors.
Really?
I think I'll have to get a white one.
Maybe
that way
I should start buying more.
Take your Sharpie so it'll show it.
I would get one, but my head is too fucking big.
I got a big head too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm...
It's not happening.
Just have a lot of hair.
See, I probably shouldn't have said nothing because now when this episode airs, everybody's gonna come get a Sin.
You got a week.
Hat, and then I'll come get mine and they'll be gone.
We'll put one to the side for you, bro. Just tell us what size. We'll put one for the side. I'm sure Sin got all day.
Save one for me. I can make more. I'll buy one. You don't have to give it to
me.
We
can just do it later today.
I want a Sin. Actually, I want a Sin t-shirt when you do get that, too. I like your...
You do?
I like
you
that.
See?
See, and I'll wear it.
Like it.
See me? I'm pimping my brother.
You like it?
Mailman's gear from the drop. Mailman. What up, mailman?
I want to get other... It's my old school.
I'm wearing
it's
his gear.
It's my old school one. I kind of want to do a new one, too.
So I want a DJ Sin t-shirt.
I'll be both. I'll just have both. And hat. I have my old school stickers and a new one, like, you know.
You got stickers, too? I want a sticker.
Yeah, I do. I should have some.
Hey, like you guys have any question for Ricky? You know what I'm saying? Elvis?
Man, Elvis. This is your spot.
KUVO, really? That's like what I'm really interested in. Like, how's that been? Who's been your what's been your favorite part about working with that? Like, what's been some of the highlights?
Well, being embraced by KUVO, first of all, and all the KUVO members embracing us, because... They made the show a hit. Then in 2020, out of the blue, right when the COVID was getting ready to hit hard, they announced that Westward Magazine said the Latin Soul Party was Denver's best radio show. And we're like, you know, kind of getting depressed about what was going on with the COVID. The lockdown was just barely starting to happen, and we were kind of like freaking out. And then we did have to do like run some repeats at the Latin Soul Party because they didn't want us to go to the studio because of the COVID. You know, they were being real strict. So I was at my home studio editing old episodes to be rebroadcast, and we made new intros for them and introductions throughout the show to say this is an encore show. And then later on, we had to do that for like 2 months to run the best of the Latin Soul Party, which was fun for us. But I did all the work, you know, for that, editing all the shows, because I had to take all the breaks out, so the new breaks could be inserted. So that was a lot of work for me, but it was a passion. But what made it more fun was knowing that we got that Denver's Best Radio Show of 2020. My compadre,
so congratulations,
Danny Valenzuela, always wanted that. That was like a goal of his for the Latin Soul Party. We tried for many years, and they didn't show us no love. But in 2020, they did. Yes. Out of nowhere, because we weren't expecting it. We didn't even get a copy of the Westward. We couldn't find it.
Really? Oh,
so we don't even have a copy of the magazine.
Yeah, they weren't even putting it out.
So, that's that bullshit.
So, it was online.
That's that bullshit.
But that has to be a highlight. But doing the show with like my best friends, and my dad's a part of the crew too. He's took me to many episodes that we did at the old building on 29th and Welton. But we're now at 2101 Arapahoe in our new digs, beautiful studio. And we learned that one. Thank you, Ms. Charlie Robles, because she showed us the ropes. Our production director over there, how to run everything. And we've been having fun, but it's almost we're there by ourselves, pretty much.
Just chilling.
I mean, us and Ballo's next door, and that's
Hey, can
it.
We sneak in you some hip hop?
Well, you know what? We will. You know, I mean, you.
Some Cypress Hill and the Spanish, right?
One time I heard some Mad Lib on
that's
one
probably
of the
Jazz Odyssey.
Oh, I think it was Jazz Odyssey.
Jazz
yep,
Odyssey.
You're right.
It comes on.
Oh
Monday,
man,
Thursday,
I fucking love that so much.
10 to midnight.
I couldn't even get down. You know. I love Jazz Odyssey.
I love Jazz Odyssey.
Jazz Odyssey is
one
of my favorite.
Favorite
yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna have to check it out, man.
But you know, if you listen to Latin Soul Party, you might hear like though. Paul Hardcastle, Rainforest. You know,
get some Nori with Nina Sky.
Well, we work it up a little bit. Sometimes we kind of restrain ourselves just a little bit, because like I said, we're doing more on the Chicano tip, you know, the Latin tip with Santana and El Chicano. Yeah. But we play War, too.
Right.
Tower of Power, you know.
Can get some Capone.
It just reminds me of that.
We have played, you know.
For real. They got a hot song. That song is hot as fuck.
We have played some Kid Frost and some Lighter Shade of Brown, too.
Hell yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm talking about.
We've had to, you know. So we did. So we're pretty open like that. You never know.
I'm call a request some crazy.
And then
crazy
my compadre, he'll play some Al Hurricane and some Little Joe. So we kind of mix it up a little bit. It's not all R&B or old school R&B or Spanish. You know, we actually don't really try to plan the show. We just go in and just do what happens, catch right. the vibe, you know?
Nah, I feel you.
Like, kind of like we do when we go
right
do
here,
a DJ set.
Catch
that's
the vibe.
Way we do the Latin Soul Party. They try to, KEVL kind of wants to, what are you going to do next week? Let's put it on the website and
music.
Promote it. And usually that only happens like when somebody passes away or something, like Carlos Santana's brother passed away last year, Jorge. So we did a tribute to him. Mm-hmm. And Arcelio, the leader of Malo, and now he passed away, so we had to do a tribute for him. So that's kind of
wow.
the shows we put on the website. We're going to do a special show, you know, dedicated. But most of the time, we just go in there, we get a catch a vibe and just go for it, you know. Maybe Danny might think of something he wants to do special, but it's like hours before we do it or the day before. So we just go for it and not really plan what we're going to talk about. We just kind of like
off the head,
here,
off the dome freestyle.
Like what we're doing here. You know?
Yeah,
that's cool. How the Latin Soul Party works, just like a round table like this.
That's dope.
And we actually, when we got that award, they said they liked our banter, which we thought we weren't really saying anything serious or anything, but they complimented. They said that's the what do they call that, the special ingredient of the Latin Soul Party, the
right.
special sauce.
Extra sauce.
Was us talking. And I said, really? They like that? I thought they liked the music more than us talking.
Yeah.
But they like they complimented
that's
us
really
on our
good.
Our
that's
gab,
cool.
you know?
Yeah.
Us just talking shop, chopping it up, like you said. Joe, so
hell yeah,
that's
hell
how
yeah.
we do it, brother. So, shout out to Danny Valenzuela, Jammin' Joe Serna, Jedi George Murad, and myself, Ricky O. Latin Soul Party every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. KUVO, KUVO.org, Kuvo Jazz. Listen to us tomorrow. We'll be on Friday night, 4th of July special. You know what we're gonna play too?
What's that?
I'm just gonna say because I gotta play. It's mandatory for 4th of July weekend. We gotta play. Firecracker by Mass Production, so got to do it. So we will.
Hell yeah.
You know, trying to get the drop to see if they'll play it, but it's all right if we got the exclusive.
Right, exclusive.
We'll be the only ones to play that old school joint, you know.
Hell yeah.
Remember Firecracker? That's old school cut. Well, Two Live Crew sampled that. Two Live Crew sampled it for Me So Horny.
It's a throwback.
That beat, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the original was Firecracker, Mass Production.
Yep, yep. Hey, you guys got any questions? Got a question, DNA Sin?
Shit.
I learned a lot. I learned a lot about
I want to hear more about you, bro. You know?
Well, tell him, man. Yeah, tell him.
Tell him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a hip-hop artist. I do rap, a little bit of R&B. I have a record label out here, Picasso Game Records. I got 7 artists, like 16 producers, 1 DJ. And, man, I'm just trying to learn, trying to do shit, you know. My artist got something going on. I got the album I just finished. I think I'm going to drop it the 9th of July. It's actually an EP.
Can we get a little sneak peek
like
of that?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah.
For
yeah.
sure, play some shit.
Yeah. Talk about it, to hype it all up. You know, yeah. What's your social media so they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at DNA Picasso. That's DNA Picasso.
Peyton.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to look you up tonight.
Yeah, please
hey,
do.
Sin sure. put me, Sin put me onto it. Some of his music and... You got some dope shit.
Oh yeah, I appreciate y'all though. Like the DJs, man. I feel like you guys are like the real, real pioneers to this music shit. Not only like breaking the music and shit, but I feel like really setting the vibes. Like people don't realize how much control y'all have on like the radio and like the room and like a club or like
everybody,
a party.
Yeah.
Like y'all really set the whole tone for
y'all
shit.
The block.
It's dope too. It's dope, and I'm kind of trying to learn more about the back end of stuff too. Like in terms of. How to break a record for real today, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like it's changed so much. Like, artists like myself almost look at the radio as irrelevant, which is a shame because the radio has done so much for so many people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's almost like people tell you, don't go for the radio because one is it's overpriced and it's not going to get you far. And it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to, like, really navigate as an artist with radio going forward, you know?
I tell you, upload it to the drop at KUVO.org, and let's get it going. The main thing that Nikki's really adamant about is making sure you tag all your music right, you know, with all your data, you know,
yeah,
on there, label it right correctly.
Mm-hmm.
She wants like a bio from you and everything, so
yeah.
You want to do that digitally.
I sent some stuff
paper?
Over to her. I know she's got like 50,000 emails.
Yes,
she's actually played a lot of my stuff, but it's like. Older music.
Yeah.
I feel like she hasn't gotten or hasn't gotten.
Did she have you on Local Love? On the Saturday and Sunday show?
I don't ever hear. People are literally like in the car taking video of me playing on the radio, yeah, and I never know about it.
It's probably on local level because yeah, that's when she really goes off.
Yeah.
Because it's like a whole hour of local artists, not yeah, just once in, or two times an hour.
When is that?
Local love.
What time is
she,
that?
I think she does it on Saturday afternoon from like 3 to 5 and Sunday from 5 to 6. Mm. So it's like both Saturday and Sunday. I believe that's so. I might be mistaken. I listen to the drop all the time, yeah, so I might have made a mistake.
I know. Yeah, she
Nikki
she
comes
so
on
love,
on
she
a
love.
Saturday afternoon and Sunday evenings on the drop with local love.
Yeah.
So she highlights nothing but local artists.
Yeah.
Hey, what I got for you is you got to go the route of Ludacris or Little John and become the DJ, and then you break your own shit. Once you get on the radio,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You become that personality, too. And then once you get that spot, whether you start, like you said, at midnight, and you start playing your shit, dropping your artists.
Yeah.
Because you're already, you know what I mean? You are the plug now. Yeah. You kind of, instead of looking for the plug, like you're talking to break it, mm-hmm, you just kind of become the plug. And that's kind of what I've done just with art and everything, just trying to make it all together so I could have different avenues. But I'll tell you what, for real, if I was an MC or rapper, I'd be DJing, like breaking, you know, playing my shit in the club, in the strip club, like whatever, you know yep, what I mean? However you could fucking do it. Because you control that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if Sin was like a singer rapper, she'd be popping because she could play her
play
shit,
her own shit yeah,
a million times
time,
a week. Yeah. She'd be DJing like 1,000 times a week. Yeah. You know?
I also like to play artists, so I'll play yeah, your yeah, stuff and one of the next mixes I do on the station too.
I appreciate it.
But like, you should send me your music. So always yeah, send all the DJs you know their music. Your
clean,
music,
clean.
Just send it to them.
Needs,
you know?
She needs a clean version.
The clean version.
And clean versions, yeah, exactly. Radio versions.
Yeah, I got so, you. I got some songs ready right now.
Or
yeah,
I have a couple people in the crew.
And then to every DJ
better
you know,
DJs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just send it to them.
I just know that like today, in today's age, like I don't know the approach and the rules of engagement sometimes. I don't know if I should just simply email you or send you a message with my music. I feel like sometimes it comes off as spam.
All three.
I like, you know?
Yeah.
But if that's not what it is, then I'll for sure do it. I just have never been the type of dude to like, I'm not trying to press nobody to play my
yeah,
shit.
But you,
no,
you
kind of
have
say,
to put it out there.
Just put it
yeah,
out there. Just be
yeah,
like, because sometimes we're all so damn busy and like it's nice to like just get it quick. And for me,
just put a little
I
message.
I would love if you just send a message, be like, I know you're busy. Sin or like to your DJs, I would do this, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is my new album. I would love you all to have it. Please play it if you like it.
You know what? I think really, if you tap into who they are, really take a quick second to make like a specific message to the people themselves. I mean, I've done that with other things that I've been working on, and it really makes a difference on who puts it out and approaches it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
even
put
if
it
it's
out
real
other
simple,
people too, but
even if it's real
DJs,
simple, like specific to who you're sending it to, you
yeah,
know, really. I'd love what you're doing. Yeah. Love it if you know. Here's my music. If you ever feel like you'd like to play, so whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I don't know. That's just how
it's
I.
It's just
no,
good to engage with people.
That's,
like
that's
how it is.
Game though, you're talented.
You know?
I mean, that's
and you already know that.
Yeah, you,
but it's good
know,
to get that you know that concrete word from somebody you know or just everybody telling you that's what you should do.
Yeah.
When you already know what you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Just to motivate you a little bit,
yeah,
you know.
It's dope to know that because I feel like I come from like a upbringing where I like to have a relationship with people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone owes me anything, so I don't feel entitled to someone playing my shit because they know of me or because mm-hmm, I'm just an artist with good music, you know. I feel like having a dope relationship, you know, means a lot. But it's dope to know that like simply just having everything in the right format and sending a, you know, a nice friendly message and, yo, this is my shit.
And even mm-hmm, make it just easy, be
yeah,
like, cool. If they want to
yeah,
download it, they don't, they do or they do not. Like, it's not, like, costing you anything.
Exactly.
It's just, and it's giving it, to especially to DJs, because we'll play it if we
yeah,
like it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking about and putting together, like a DJ, like a party where I'm just like, where I cater some food and, like, have some DJs come.
No, that's a bright
play,
idea. That's a brilliant idea.
And
I'll
play
like,
music.
Real. Like shit like that is smart.
Like I
want to
do shit like that. But like when I say I really want a relationship with people, like that's what I mean. Like I want to be able to like invite you.
You don't
want
to talk to some fool on the phone.
Yeah, nah.
Fuck that.
Nah.
Yeah.
But I feel like for me, it could kind of work against me sometimes because
yeah,
I don't put myself out there as much because I'm not the type of person to run up on someone because I feel like they could do something for me. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. It's like a.
It's got to work, it, bro. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like my pops used to have to do that too back in the day.
We all need people, man.
The same thing back in the 70s and the 80s or in the 60s when he was working it. The same story, just now in 2021. Got to keep on doing it, you know.
Yeah, I feel like greeting. I feel like, you know, but like not just hit up every DJ. Like, know what they're doing. Tap into what they're doing, where exactly. They're at. Go see them, maybe.
Yeah, make yourself seen.
Go to one of their things. I mean? Like, oh, Tide, I showed up. Tag them on your story. Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? All that.
And it really comes from supporting. Like, none of it's going to be like, let me send out a bunch of messages today, all the same thing, you know? Yeah. If you're going to do that, you better know every single person you're hitting up and be like, yo, what up? Can you hit this up? Like, you know, like today I did that. I sent it to a bunch of people, but it was like, hey, yo, you got a sec? You know, everybody, I like know how I talk to them. So it's all about, I mean, you can't, it can't come from like a, I need to come up space, which is, you're not trying to do that, obviously, you know? So I think you can't really go wrong with reaching out, knowing where someone's, you know, coming from, what they're working on, what they're doing, and then, you know, letting that be the introduction and working that, you know what I mean? And I don't mean working
it
like...
It does take time, though. I'm just saying with everybody.
Your intentions are right, man, and yeah, it's to build a network.
You are. You people come off that way. You're like very... Your energy is that. You know what I'm saying? For sure. You leave a good message and tell people... People know you're out there hustling and grinding like that, you know? Especially DJs. I'm saying as a DJ, whatever. I agree with you, too. But that takes so much time, like thinking about all the people.
Yeah, people
have to know. We all have lives, you know what I'm saying? And if you're doing, but you're an artist.
If you're trying to do that, you have to be out there doing that, though.
I'm a DJ. I play original artist music and make a living off that. You know what I'm saying? I get to play everybody's music. So that's why with me as a DJ, I want you to just give it to me. Like, just make it easy for me and send me a message for me. I don't know how other DJs, I don't know why a DJ would take that offensively or anything. Like, just give it to them. Like, they make it easy. Send a nice note.
Direct, not through the record pool.
Yeah, make it easy. Yeah, like, make it easy for us to get it. Send a zip file, whatever. And, like, I would check it out. You know, that's how I would react. But everybody's different, you know?
You'll have it. That's dope. But it's dope to know the people who are willing to receive it like that, because some people are like, before you even send it, I don't care who you are, make sure you send the Cash App too. Send a $50 Cash App for me to listen to it because I'm busy and I got shit to do. And if I open up your email, I'm taking away from something else I could be doing.
There's people that say that?
Yeah. In the city that you know. But I won't even go there. But like, there's people out here for real that...
Hey. Then those are the people you don't deal with. You deal with people like us, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
that's fact.
Yeah,
the podcast is a perfect
outlet
for
like
to hear your music, everything, everyone's story, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're organic, it's organic. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're not forcing nothing, you're not, you know, just be out there doing what you do.
I think that's what you need to be. You need to be organic now in 2021 in the future. Because I think everybody's looking for that now, right?
It's all about
facts.
Yeah.
I think DJ Sin's getting much love nowadays because she is organic, you know, and down.
And she shows love. She, like, I feel like you go out of your way sometimes to show love, and that shit goes. I feel like that goes a long, long, long way. Because then I'm like, you know, like, when I'm going scrolling through people who I could be thinking of for anything, I'd be like, you know, what's DJ Sin on, you know? That's why when you put out my, oh, it's lit, because I was just thinking about you for this party July 10th that I want you to be a part of and stuff. And so you booked that day.
Yeah.
She's busy.
What you doing that day?
October.
She's doing 20 other gigs.
At night, too?
Day and night.
Oh, man.
Like, late night?
Yeah.
Like, how late? Like, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about this during a podcast. Like, my booking and stuff, like, but... Like,
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
We'll talk later.
That's good.
I could help probably with some stuff.
That's good, Vincent, though. That's perfect,
That's lit.
You know? See?
A closing set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 4 o'clock in the morning. Wrap it up.
Oh, no, not that late. Like a 12 to 1.
Oh, you guys don't stay up late like we used to? Huh. Okay. I remember going to after hours from 2 to 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the good old days.
Yep. Hey, you got any questions, Sim? Before
I just learned so much about you, and it's so impressive and, like, so cool to have learned so much about, and you're so cool, like, what you've done.
A legend.
I'll stay like humble.
I had respect for you before, but,
it's
like,
cool.
Man,
it's tight.
Well, you've always embraced me since we met, Sin, but I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm a fan, too.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And this dude, too, Brother Joe.
No, I appreciate
much
you,
love and respect, brother. So I see,
much love and respect.
I see
for real.
Your grind from way back.
Been doing for a minute, bro.
I
been
know
trying,
been.
You know.
That's why I was blessed to be on the store, and I got to say apologies earlier. You invited me earlier, mm-hmm. you know. But I just
it's all good. Hey,
I wasn't ready to come through
COVID,
at that moment. You
COVID's
know,
a motherfucker.
But when you put your invitation out there to me.
You're always welcome here, bro. Whenever you want to come by.
I appreciate
by,
it. I love
this guy.
Right on, Elvis.
You know what I'm saying? I even talked to you earlier. Like, I was talking about, we were talking about Elvis. We're going to get a Lazy Sundays cracking. I was telling him if he wants to come in with Sin and do half of the set, you know what I mean, on the Lazy Sundays, you know, more
you
than
might have
welcome.
To do that because I'm being really open about stuff now, too.
Let's
just
make
because,
it happen.
Well, I'm like almost like Sin. I'm not on their level, but everybody's been hitting me up to DJ their parties too, and I didn't even say anything. So that, I mean, that's a blessing, you know.
Nah,
everybody
yeah,
wants
like
to party.
Another level right now. I'm like getting.
Oh,
like
you are.
I was in tears today. I was telling Joe, I can't even handle this. I'm like, I can't manage myself. It's like
everybody
people want to party.
Yes.
And it's like I want to be able to help everybody. And yeah. I'm like,
help
like
me, yeah. help me, Sin.
All my DJ friends are like busy.
But it feels good, you know. But I'm just like, I want to be able to have
all
a life
those,
too. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Well that,
I just love being able to do that for people.
I've had like, a lot of people, you know, on my timeline say, oh, DJ Sin's the best. DJ, and you are, mama. You're
for sure. She
my
is.
God.
You're up there, yeah, mama. So
she is.
I appreciate you. I love the way you mix. I appreciate how you blend
thank
and
you.
Do it, you know. It's
I
tight.
Think you keep good DJs around you, too. Like,
thank you.
From well, the outside looking in, it seems like
yeah.
you have a good relationship with other DJs, too.
I do.
And I think
I
it's
do.
Dope. Like, you, like it takes nothing away from what you do. And, like, that
yeah.
attitude is, like, hella respected. Like,
oh, I would you. Say, though, that's been my relationship with all the
yeah.
the DJs in Denver, Colorado,
appreciate
you know, especially, like, Jones and the Bums crew and everybody. I've got nothing but love from the DJs.
But that's fire, though. Everyone's not like that, you know?
No, I've heard some stories. And I've made maybe there might be mm-hmm. a few haters across the way I've ran across, but ain't much, you know?
But when you're securing who you are, don't none of that shit matters.
I don't matter.
Right,
no,
know?
I don't. I don't matter to me.
Yeah.
Hey, because we're going to keep it pushing no matter what at the end of the fucking day.
I keep on doing my thing.
Regardless,
you know?
Bro.
No matter what, I'm going to keep on doing it till the end, you know? Till the wheels fall off.
Exactly.
Brother Joe.
You know what I mean?
You too, Sin.
Hey.
Do it forever, mama.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be looking forward to that.
I'm not planning on stopping.
I know you're not stopping.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying.
You're already a legend in our current times, mama. So I appreciate
oh my gosh.
That. You know? And I look up to that. You
good.
Inspire me. Always tell that to Miss Bella Scratch because she inspires me too.
Yep. Shout out Bella.
She does everything.
Shout
love
out.
You, Bella Scratch.
Yep.
Love you, girl.
You the
that
bomb.
Girl, that girl's like
wicca,
her
wicca,
own
wicca.
Thing, you know, and taking it to the next level like every day. And I appreciate you for that. The OG Riccio appreciates you and Bella. I love Nikki too, what she's doing over there. She's amazing, you know, so. I love all the women that are doing stuff in right now and you know, putting their foot down and rocking the city.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know? It's
women
cool,
are powerful for sure.
Yeah, you are.
Women.
I love the ladies. I'm single again, newly single again, so I appreciate it.